tell the truth, and make it funny. That's what's coming up on The Art of Bombing, episode 229.
My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, 'cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.
Welcome to a brand new episode of The Art of Bombing. I'm your host, Dan Bublitz Jr., and with me as always is my cohort, producer, and host, Mr. Josh Shirley. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good, Dan. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Glad to be here with on another episode of the podcast. We have a fantastic guest today. Mo Alexander is the guest. I'm excited to get to that.
Dude, this is going to be a fantastic episode. It's got something for everybody, I feel, just in terms of comics, whether you're new, whether you've been around. He's been around. Talk about a multi-decade kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Worked with a lot of legendary comedians, and he's done a lot of great things himself. I mean, he was on Kevin Hart's Heart of the City. The list goes on and on. He's done a lot of stuff. We talk about some of the stuff in the episode.
Right. He is an authentic dude. Yeah, when he talks about it, like, I kind of think about, have I ever done anything with my career? This guy, you know, but yeah, he's definitely a seasoned veteran, but he's also got some real, gems in there, mm-hmm. For listeners who just want to think about the craft. Like, he tells a great story about Chris Rock starting on Monday and just kind of working his way through the week that I think is a real precious moment. So,
Absolutely. But before we get into that great conversation, just sort of real quick, if you're listening to the podcast, thank you first and foremost. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Follow all our social media at Art of Bombing Pod. We're on all the platforms. You can also, you know, go to the website, artofbombingpod.com. You'll probably notice a little bit different. We didn't really announce much, I don't think, on social media about this, but we're no longer going to be live streaming the Art of Bombing podcast. We're going back to the old school way of doing it, where we're doing it privately and putting it out on our RSS feed. And the good news is, though, with that being said, we're also going to be doing episodes weekly. We're going back to our weekly schedule. They'll still be releasing, I think, on Thursdays, since that's the day we changed to. I think we'll just continue to release them on Thursdays for now. But along with that, with the streaming, though, we got some cool stuff coming up with that. We're going to be bringing Between the Bombs back. That is going to be strictly a streaming show. We've got some watch party type shows in the works, different things like that. We've got some other Art of Bombing offshoots that we're going to be doing streaming. So that kind of content will be streaming. And then the Art of Bombing will be back in its original form here on the RSS feed, and we'll also be doing clips still. The clips will be coming out on our YouTube, so if you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, I recommend you do that. You go to YouTube, look up the Art of Bombing Pod, subscribe to the channel, because we've got a lot of great bits on there. We have the the bits that I can't think of the name. What did we call it?
Bomb drops.
Bomb drops. Ah!
That's right.
I just dropped a bomb of a freaking host
drop
right there,
on your,
man.
Wow.
Jesus.
No. Hey, but go and listen to the Winston Hodges episode that we posted a month, maybe 6 weeks back. That's one of my favorite bomb drops. It just encapsulates into this great 10-minute story. You guys need to go subscribe to the YouTube channel and check that one out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Definitely do those things. otherwise, other than that, we're back to business. And like I said, we've got a great episode today. As far as what I have coming up, at the end of the month and beginning of June, I will be in Southern California. Well, I'll be in hopefully New Mexico. I'm still not sure about that, but I'll be in Phoenix. Then I'll be in Southern California, mostly in San Diego. Bunch of shows I'm going to be doing out there. You can find all my tour information on my website, danbublitzcomedy.com. What, do you have anything coming up, Josh?
I am changing jobs right now, and I'm kind of focused on keeping money coming in to the household on my support job. So at the moment, I'm doing some writing, going to mics, and just keeping the joke train bringing in fresh bits. So next show, probably have a few dates to throw out there for everybody.
Perfect, perfect. So, and we also have the five-year anniversary show will be coming up sometime in May. We haven't set a specific date, but, I mean, we have been, this podcast has been going for 5 years, so that's cool. That's a huge milestone for the
big
podcast.
Time.
So, we had a guest lined up. We had a scheduling conflict. We're still working on getting all the scheduling done. But there will be a five-year anniversary show in May, so look forward to that. But right now, I think we're ready to I think we're ready to go.
Let's do this.
All right, here is our conversation with Mo Alexander. Enjoy.
And now it's time for the stand-up soundbite.
After hearing about the koalas, I heard another story about a six-year-old boy who felt so bad for the koalas. He wanted to raise money for them, and I thought that's cool as fuck. How you gonna raise money for a lot of dead koalas? And what he... I just realized how funny what I just said was. What he was gonna do to say, you know, help out the burned up koala, what he was gonna do was, he started making little clay koalas and selling them. And I know y'all think it's bullshit, but you can Google this story. And the cool part is, he's raised over $300,000 selling little fucking clay koalas. Cool as fuck, but then you think about it, if you know anything about pottery, if you fill something with clay, you have to put that in the fire to make it a hard thing. It's goddamn hilarious to me. There's a six-year-old boy setting koalas on fire to raise money for koalas growing ready to set on fire. The circle of life.
It's the art of bombing.
An interesting thing about you is that you have a pet possum.
Well, I was attacked by a possum like 2 years ago, and then like last year during COVID. Well, right, you know, at the end of COVID, I had a baby possum walk into my house, and I didn't want, you know, he was just a baby, and I'm not going to, he was too young to deal with himself. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he got separated from his mother, and he was an adorable little dude, and we were just like, all right, we'll take care of him. And he just, what's today, the 5th or 6th, the 5th, the 6th, he's been officially here for a year as of May the 4th,
So
we celebrated his little, you know, adoption day, and gave him like cheesecake because it has cheese and he loves cheese.
Oh, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So do I. He's a little weirdo, but he's honestly a little weirdo. He does everything that possums are not supposed to do. They're supposed to hate garlic and spicy foods. If his food's not spicy, he's not eating it. It's very weird. It's very, very weird.
Well, that sounds like a possum that should be definitely residing in the South then, right?
Yeah. He came to the right house. He found me and he was like, hey, I heard you like spicy food. And I was like, I do like spicy food. He's like, me too. Give me some garlic. And I'm like, all right, here. And
that's
he's
awesome.
Very weird. Yeah, he's an awesome little dude.
Yeah, I don't have any exotic animals like that, but I'm an animal guy myself. I just have a couple dogs and a cat, but yeah, animals are great. They make life better.
I keep telling people, because I've never had animals really until him, and I keep telling people I will John Wick anybody who hurts my possum. I will hunt their family down from the roots. I don't care. No.
It's amazing how much you can love something, right?
Yeah, exactly. I will skin someone alive if they ever come near my possum and hurt him. I swear. I mean, I will do some devious John Wick medieval ass shit on their possum. It's weird, but I love that little weirdo. He's so cool.
That's awesome. I love it. That's great. Oh man. So did you do any shows this last weekend? Were you out on the road anywhere?
I don't even know where I am sometimes. I have shows this coming weekend. This Saturday I'm going down to Florida for a night in Fort Walton Beach, and then I had something scheduled for next weekend, but the club owner died, so they decided to close the club. Dude, I'm not kidding, and I'm not making fun of the situation. No. I'm not making fun of the situation. A new club opened up, and the night before the club opened up, the guy who owned it, whose entire inspiration was for the club, died. And I'm not making fun of that situation.
Is that the one
all.
In Missouri?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know about the club, but my friend was supposed to do their grand opening weekend.
Oh, Will?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my buddy.
Yeah. Will's a good friend of mine as well.
Yeah, that's my brother in this business, for real. That's one of my brothers. I love Will. I've known him for a very long time. Hold on one second. The possum is here. What do you need?
He needs to buy a fish.
Okay, here, you deal with him. I'm on the podcast, and unless you want me to put him on the podcast for a second. Hold on. Give me Poncho real quick. Dan's on here just like, what? Yeah, that's exactly the gig. Because I called him up and was like, how's the gig? He's like, the dude died. I'm like, oh, shit.
That's crazy. That's comedy, though. You never know what's going to happen. Oh, my gosh. Look at that.
This is my little buddy. This is Poncho.
Oh, that's so cute. That's
the fish.
Well,
this is the first time a possum has been a guest on The Art of Bombing. I love it.
Yeah.
His tail.
Oh my god, this is amazing.
He's like a little furry parrot. He just likes to sit on my shoulder and just.
That's funny. Getting a little too big for the shoulder, though.
He goes. He doesn't even care. He doesn't care. He's like, nope. I'm gonna be here. Yeah. Go ahead, take him. All right.
Most crazy. Animals don't care about that personal space, that's for
no,
sure.
No, he's like, hey, oh, no. I love him so much, but the weirdest feeling is just be sitting there and suddenly have a possum tail in your ear or nose or something. It's like, what the hell? Get off me.
Oh, that's funny.
He's truly a weirdo. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. Let's go with this talk.
Oh, no worries. That's all good. I love that interruption. That was great.
Will was supposed to be the grand opening, and So I was supposed to do it next week, and they just told me since that all happened, they just the person that his wife didn't know how to run the place, and so they just closed it down. So I'm off. So.
Oh man, it's very unfortunate.
It's very sad
because you got to think about the money they probably spent getting it ready and opening it up that's just gone.
Yeah,
that's sad. That's
very sad. I feel very bad for the widow and everybody who was working there and everything, and I hate they couldn't pull it off, but I mean, what a horrible way to go. Like the night before your grand opening, after all that stuff, it's just like boom. I'm like,
I really feel sad. I guess I didn't realize it was the owner. When Will posted about it, he just said there was a death in the family, and that was about it. But
it was the owner, the guy, the dream maker of the place. So,
oh, that's so unfortunate.
Yep,
that's a bummer.
Yeah,
but well, thoughts and prayers and all that to his family.
Yeah, seriously, much love to those guys.
That's. It's interesting how comedy can change like that. I mean, we learned that during the pandemic.
I had the greatest tour planned. Right, I had everything from March to September completely booked. I started my tour out in Louisville. I was in Chattanooga one night for a festival. Went to Louisville. I was supposed to come back to another show in Chattanooga that Sunday night, and everything past that got canceled. And it just was like, okay, because it was like, cause people were thinking it wasn't going to last more than 2 or 3 weeks. So, we're like, okay, whatever. We'll be back in 2 or 3 weeks. Nope. 2 years later, finally.
Yeah. And even now, it's still,
My aunt and uncle just got COVID in Michigan. I'm just like, I told y'all to get vaccinated because they tried to kill me earlier this year. I have three shots. At the time, I had three shots of the COVID stuff and still caught it in Minneapolis or Des Moines. I'm not sure where I caught it, but I did New Year's Eve in Minneapolis and the day before New Year's Eve in Des Moines. And I caught it, and it tried to take me down. It tried to take me down. I was in the hospital for a week and everything. And
oh, man. Well, I'm glad it didn't get you. That's
yeah. Me too. That's,
yeah, that's some tough stuff. That's for sure. Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of crazy. I don't really get into politics and stuff here too crazy on here, but it's just crazy how many people, especially up in the upper Midwest, are, you know, against getting the vaccine and everything. And it's
I don't understand it. I'm like, this has nothing to do with politics. This is science. But I know y'all didn't pass sixth grade science, so you don't understand. Yeah. Okay. The name of the tour I'm on right now is called The Fully Vaxxed and Mostly Waxed. Because I'm now four shots deep and I missed a spot on my ball. So let's go. That's how we do it.
Let's do it. Let's tell some jokes. I love
it. Let's tell some jokes. Let's tell some truth and make it funny. That's how I do.
I love that. I love that. Well, let's talk about this podcast is about the art of bombing. I love hearing stories from comedians of those shows, the bad shows where they felt like they bombed or it was a bad show. And I'd love to hear a story from you.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Here's the thing about bombing. Any comic that says they have never bombed is lying their ass off. Every comic bomb. I've seen some huge comics bomb before. And I'm just like, the worst one, the absolute worst one was probably 20 years ago. The absolute worst bombing. I was opening for Bruce at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte, North Carolina. And if you know Bruce's crowd, I can do any kind of crowd out there. But if it's a hood ass crowd, it's going to be a fight because I will get them eventually, but they don't respect you unless you come out and do some foolish shit at first. And I don't do that. And I was opening for Bruce, and I have never felt 400 people just hate at the same time. Ugh. It was the worst. Oh my God. It was one of those nights that I went back to the hotel thinking I was going to quit comedy. It was one of those nights because
I definitely have them nights.
I'm seriously, it's not like maybe I should quit comedy. No, it's like maybe I should jump off a bridge and quit comedy permanently. It was violently bad because Steve Harvey told me one time, nobody should ever do the Apollo because those, and I quote, those niggas outside 3 hours beforehand practicing their boos in line. They're like in the line going, boo, 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 boo. And I'm like, that's what happened. It was 400 people who came specifically to see Bruce. Nobody else. They didn't care about anybody else in the show. They didn't care they just wanted Bruce out there. And Bruce is funny. I love Bruce. He's a good dude. He's a good person. Bruce usually half fives. Because I've worked with Bruce many times, and the shows always went well. And it was like, all right, cool. All right, little dude, because he's a big dude. I'm a big dude, and he calls me little dude. I'm like, all right, little dude, cool. I'm like, all right. And I walked up and did my opening bit, and I was not funny back then opening, because I was like, I was starting to headline stuff, but stuff like that, I was emceeing for bigger names. No problem like that. I had been touring with Keenan Ivory Wayans for like the year prior to that. No problem. I'm good with those shows. This one, these people just looked at me like I literally took a shit on stage. I looked like, oh, and they're just like, and so I was like, all right, that didn't work. Let's try this. So I jumped gears, did something else. And I was supposed to be doing 15 minutes. This is how bad the show was. This is how bad that night for me was. I was supposed to do 15 minutes, bring up a feature act who's going to do 15 minutes, and then Bruce was going up, right? So just 30 minutes before Bruce. Me 15, him 15. I did 7 minutes of my 15, and I got the light, like, come on down. Come on down. Come on down now. I'm like, okay, that's the light. Get the hell out of here. Let me get the hell out of here. And brought up the guy who was doing 15 minutes. The show was so bad, they didn't let me go back up the next time to bring on the feature, to bring on Bruce. The feature dude went over and bring on Bruce. I'm like,
oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm shaking it so bad. I am like, this is, I don't, I, how, what's going on here? This ain't, I mean, and one of the club managers is like, damn, what the hell happened? I was like, I know you're funny. I know, you did a show last night. You were, what happened? Like, and then Bruce went off for like 20 minutes because he knew me. He knew me. Bruce was like, y'all give it up for your feature. Now let's talk about Mo for a second. And then did 20 minutes on how I suck for seven. I'm like, this is some bullshit here. This is some bullshit. I'm like, usually we hang out until that night. He was just like, y'all see those over again? And I'm like, oh, I'm going home. I'm going home. Went back to the hotel. Unfortunately, my girlfriend at the time was with me. And it was one of those, let me crawl up on the titty and just cry for a few minutes. Like, that's how bad it was. I'm like, I should kill myself, kill everybody else, and then just quit comedy at the same time. This is horrible. I cannot believe this. And I was shook. It was it was one of those life-changing moments of, I was shook. And so the next night, I mean, I didn't get fired the next night because this was the late show Friday night show. And if you know anything about comedy, the late show on Friday night is usually the worst one of the week. Yep. Because those people got off work at 5, they rushed to go get dinner. Now they're at the show. They've been drinking probably. They're tired. They're exhausted. But they're at the show because they bought tickets. And like, damn it, I'm going to use these tickets. I don't care how tired I am tonight. And that show nationwide is always the worst show of the week. And that one was no different. That was the worst show. I've bombed before. I have no problem saying I bombed. But that was the worst thing I've ever had. That's the worst bomb ever in the history of Mo Alexander. It was.
And you know it's bad when they give you the light.
7 minutes in?
Yeah.
7 minutes. I'm like, in my today, I do like an hour every night. No problem. But it was 15 minutes of comedy. I did 7 minutes and they gave me the light. They're like, you need to come off right now. I'm like, no, what can I do? So the way I came back, because, you know, after that, you're always shook after your last show. Something yep. like that. You're shook. And I'm just like, ugh. So the next night comes around and it's the first show on the Saturday night show. And I'm a little shaky because Bruce is already fucking with me. He's like, hey, don't do what you did last night. I'm like, go fuck yourself. He's like, all right, little nigga. Because you're a little nigga. I'm like, all right, go fuck yourself. I'm going to go do what I do. And I walk up on stage and I just take a breath and I look down and there's this big dude. You remember the band Pink? You remember the rap group TM Dawn?
I don't think I've.
There was a band back in the early night, a rap group in the early night called PM Dawn. He had fat dude with little dreads. Okay. On top of his head. And there was a dude in the very front row who looked exactly like him, except he had gold teeth and braces on.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
Gold teeth and braces.
At the same damn time. I didn't understand how that worked. And I looked at him, and the rest of that show became about him. I did about 2 minutes of real material and another 13 going off on the PM Dawn looking dude who had gold teeth and braces in the front row. And that brought me back. That brought me back to sanity right there. That brought me back to the funny level. So the rest of that night was perfect. I could do no wrong the rest of that night. That Bruce was like, give it up for Mo. That Mo, that motherfucker, he does have gold teeth and braces. He didn't make that shit up. He is PM Dawn, Sella Drifter, but he just went off on what I went off on. And it traumatized me though. It traumatized me bad. That was, I mean, I bombed before because so as I said, I can do hood shows depending, because if it's a late night hood show, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun because I gotta do different stuff that I don't normally do on stage. Because I have worked with DL Hughley on an early show and killed. And then that late night 2 a.m. show, because he won't get his ass drunk ass off stage. We used to do four shows in one night for DL because he wouldn't work on Sunday night. He'd just do, the shows would start. No, I'm not.
That's a lot of shows in one day.
Dude, you understand? We started like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
And because DL, which D, I don't know if he still drinks or not. I'm not going to talk shit about the man. The man's a wonderful human being. He's a very smart individual. But back in the day, he would drink those like 32-ounce drinks of like whatever and Coke. So like whiskey and Coke or Crown and Coke. And it'd be this much Crown and this much Coke. And so by the second show, he's not doing an hour. He's doing 2 hours. By the third show, he's doing 2.5 hours. By the third show, people are like, I got to go to church in the morning. I got to be up in 2 hours. You know what I mean, Tab? We started a show with DL at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the last show didn't leave till like 4 o'clock in the morning. We're like, we got to go. We can't sell liquor after three. We got to go, y'all. We got to go. He's just on stage up there drinking. And I have been, yeah, I mean, that's the worst bomb I've ever had right there. It was life-changing. I mean, because I'm like, I never want that to happen again. So I got to learn how to juggle and do everything I can never to have that feeling again.
Oh, absolutely. Because, now, that night, I know, you know, do you ever look back and kind of try to figure out what happened, like, outside no, there of was it no, being the late
no,
show?
There's no looking back and know what happened. I know what happened. That crowd specifically came to see Bruce Bruce. They didn't care about the feature. He didn't do well. He didn't do well, but he got a couple more laughs because he did like 3 music cues in his 15 minutes. You know what I mean? But other than that, there was nothing I could do. I could have brought out NAB and guns and shot somebody. They're like, that ain't enough. Become funny. I'm like, oh, dude.
Yeah. Well, and that definitely happens for bigger names, you know, because a lot of times it's weird. You know, people will go see a bigger name. And that's who they want to see, obviously. That's why they bought the ticket. But they don't realize that there's going to be people before that comic. You know, and they're like... And even, like, if you go to a concert, there's always opening acts at most music events. No, like, headlining act ever just goes out by themselves. Unless that's what they're billing the show as.
Right. The only headliner I've ever seen that does that is Sinbad. Sinbad does a whole show by himself. Cause I was with him once. He was like, I don't even need you tonight, Mo. Just say, let's go up on stage. Say, I'm coming to the stage. And that's it. You had to do comedy. I'm like, I'm getting paid to do this. Cool. All right. Bye. Get up and sit back. I'm like, all right. I did my job tonight. He didn't want any time. He didn't want me to do any time. He was like, you're cool, but no, you're good. It wasn't because he'd seen me bomb or anything. He just like, I need an hour and a half. We're going to do a 2 hour show. We're doing a 2 hour show. I might need 2 hours. I'm like, do what you want. Okay. So I was like, give it up and sit back. And that was it.
That's awesome. It's like, as long as I'm still getting paid, I'll do whatever you want.
I did. I was like, I didn't have a problem with that. I'm like, no, that's okay. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to take a picture with you later. Let's hang out. No, we ain't hanging out. I'm going to go back to the house. I'm like, oh, you do you, sir.
Yep. Now, you know, like on the, obviously that was a situation where, like you said, they came to see that specific headliner and they didn't want any part of anything else. But on other nights when a set doesn't go very well or, you know, a joke doesn't work, what are things that you try to do to kind of analyze and try to figure out what went wrong and how you can correct it for the next time?
It depends on what goes wrong. Are they booing because are they groaning because they don't agree with the joke? The joke is going to be funny. I'm not going to throw something out that's not funny, but why are they not liking this joke? Who am I doing this to? And it's always, they tell me something. It always happens when, like, where was I? Oh, I was in Providence, Rhode Island, okay, at the old Catch a Rising Star up there. And I did a line. It was like, I'm kind of a dark comic. I say horrible things to make you to get a reaction. I'm not a shock comic, okay? I'm not trying to shock you, but I want you to laugh at the darkness that you don't think you're going to laugh at, but you will once you hear the thing I have to say. And I was in Providence, Rhode Island, and I said this phrase, I will burn this building down like it's a Great White show. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but the Great White Band had a concert once that happened in Providence.
Oh!
I didn't know that at all. And alienated 98% of that crowd that night. One dude started cackling laughing, and I'm just like, all right, you're my audience from now on. The rest of you people kiss my ass. And he came up to me after the show and was like, dude, my girlfriend died in that fire, and still what you said made me laugh. I'm like, okay,
oh, wow.
Kind of people. Yes.
That's awesome. That he-
I know. I had pissed off the rest of the crowd, but then the one guy who actually had someone die in that family came in that fire came up to me, hugged me, and was laughing with me. He wasn't mad. He was like, God damn, I couldn't believe he said that. I'm like, yeah. So my thing is, yeah. When I find out, it's usually something like that that I don't know I'm in the town of. You know, it's usually something like that. I don't know. I mean, because, you know, I have things in my head that I always want to say. Some things are really disturbing that I bring out. Like, I tell people not to groan at my shows, because if you groan, I'm just going to take the show darker. The more you groan, the darker I take the show. And so when it's... It doesn't happen often that I get something like that, but when it does, we just take the show darker. I'm not trying to change up the show to because, oh, these people are going to be offended by this topic. I don't care if you're offended by this topic. If it's a topic I want to talk about, it's going to make you laugh even though you don't want to laugh about that topic. And yep. like the joke I have, there's a joke I have right now called white privilege. And as soon as I say it, you can feel the asshole suck down on the chair. They're like, we like the black dude until he said that. Now what do we? And then I make them laugh because they can't deny what I'm saying, because they look at what I say and just like, oh, okay, you're right. That's funny. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And that definitely can happen. You know, going back to what you're talking about, not knowing something in the area or whatever. I had that happen at a show not too long ago where I was making fun of this lawyer on a billboard that I saw driving in. Mm-hmm. And it got a weird response. And then I found out after the show that that lawyer had died.
Oh, God.
From cancer. So I was like, oh, now I understand why they were not having that joke.
Yeah, now I get it. Yeah, it's always something like that. Like, oh, no one told me that happened. Oh,
he's like, whoops. I should have did a little better research, I guess.
Yeah. You gotta be careful sometimes. I used to have an opening line. Oh, dude, I forgot I was in Colorado one time, and the joke was, if anybody knows who killed JonBenet Ramsey, can y'all please give them Honey Boo Boo's address? And and I forgot I was in Colorado when I did that, like 2 miles from her house.
Oh, man. I bet you got a mixed reaction on that one.
Oh, it was a 60-40 split of boos and applause. Half the room stood up and the other was like, boo, that's too soon. Nigga, that was 20 years ago. Boo.
Oh, yeah, that the whole too soon. Like, it's funny when people are like, too soon, and something happened 20, 30, 50 years ago.
If anybody ever yells too soon in my show, I just go crazy and I just do the most horrible, horrible things I can do right then. I'm like, oh, that's too soon? Let's talk about it and just go ball deep. Like, let's show you what too soon is, and whatever the topic of that week is, I will do. I don't care.
You're just like, well, that. We're just going to lean into this. The more
I do.
I love it.
I have no problem doing it. I'm just like, oh, that's too soon for you? Let's go darker. So, yeah. That's why I get in trouble. I'm like, Bo, you shouldn't have done it. Yeah, shit. This is comedy. You're not supposed to. I'm not a juggler. If you wanted a juggler, go hire a juggler. I'm not a magician. I'm a funny comic who says very dark things to make you think and laugh about it later on.
Yep, absolutely. If you're not wanting to laugh, then you shouldn't be coming to a comedy show.
I know, dude. That's why, I mean, I wrote a joke yesterday that I might do tomorrow just to say it on stage one time. Because it's so fucked up that I'm not trying to get in trouble. I don't know if I can curse on your show. You're going to have to beep out some stuff. But, because the whole Dave Chappelle being attacked on stage thing.
Yep.
Okay. First of all, when Chris Rock came on stage afterwards and said, was that Will Smith? Hilarious. And he's the only person. If anybody other comic can say it, nobody's like, hey, man, have fun. Chris can say it because it happened to him, and that's hilarious. Because he was like, I ain't playing. Was that Will? But I wrote a joke. I'm going to share it with you right now. It's going to be on your podcast. I don't care if I'm going to get in trouble or not. Dave Chappelle has pissed the transgender community off so much. Even weapons are identifying as other weapons now, because that was a knife identifying as a gun.
Oh, man, that's a really good joke.
Thank you. And I am not anti-trans. I have lots of trans friends. I've been around the gay community since I was 16. And if anybody walks up on a trans friend and trans them, I'm going to punch that other person in the face. But I know there's going to be some trans people who come after me after I do that one joke. And I don't care. I don't care. That joke is funny because Dave pissed off the trans community. Yep. And there was a gun. There was a knife identifying itself as a gun. That's fucking hilarious to me.
That is great.
That is the ultimate transformer right there. I couldn't believe that happened. I'm like, you kidding me? I saw them on the paper. They showed the knife inside the gun. I'm like, no, this can't be. You can't. Oh God, I got. And it just came out of my mouth, and I'm just like, I can't ever say that on TV. Someone's gonna kill me. I'm gonna.
Yeah, right. That's the one that somebody comes after you for to get you canceled.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. That's like, oh, we got canceled, Noel Alexander. He's all a transgender joke. Look, all my trans jokes are positive, pro trans. I love you people. Ain't nothing.
Yeah, and even that, I don't feel like that's that. I don't think that's transphobic of a joke.
I hope it's not an observation. This is so bad because I have a couple of trans friends who are comics, and every time I write something horrible, I have to send it to them first. It's like, would I get stabbed for this? And they're like, no, you're okay with that one. Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, hey, but that just shows, I mean, that's good on you that you take that extra step, that initiative to, instead of, you know, because there are comics that don't care regardless, and they'll just go on stage and say whatever. And, you know, that's their right. It's, you know, freedom of speech. There are consequences.
Stand up with your material. I'll fight for your right to say whatever you want material if it's funny. Well, in general, but please make it funny, because if not, I'm like, oh, that wasn't funny. You could have the right to say it, but it wasn't funny. But, you know, and I try to offend everyone equally. So that's the thing. I want to piss everybody off at some point. And occasionally, but I don't want to do it because I'm anti, like the transgender thing. I'm not anti-trans. Dave comes out with this stuff that's anti-trans. And I'm like, okay, Dave, that's you. And I get it, and that's a funny joke. So I'm gonna defend that joke. And then my trans friend, like, that joke wasn't funny. Yes, it was. I'm sorry, you gotta look down. And I know you don't think because certain people out there who will hate you, it's not funny, but that's a funny joke. So I'll defend both sides. But I don't personally want to come off as like I'm transphobic. So I say fucked up stuff. I mean, I have some very pro trans stuff, and I have one questionable joke that's involving what's her name now? Caitlyn Jenner, but we don't have to talk about that now. I have one questionable joke. But, you know, I got to put it in there because, as I say, I make fun of everybody. I don't care what the situation is. Black, white, straight, gay, tall, short, midget. That's what I do.
Yeah. But like I said, taking that step, though, to check some of those jokes with other comics, you know, that identify as that, it's good to do, you know. Because you're right. Because, I mean, you want to offend everybody equally, which is a great philosophy. And I feel like that's the one thing, too. It's funny about comedy is that, you know, people will get offended at comedy shows, but a lot of times people get offended for other people. And just in general, not just at comedy shows, just in general, you're the people that are getting offended. They're being offended for somebody else who, like you said, is not offended. And, you know, case in point, going back to the Rhode Island thing, you know, the one person who should have been offended was the one that enjoyed it the most.
I love that dude to this day. It just made, because I didn't know that had happened there, and someone yelled out in the crowd, "That was here." I'm like, "Oh shit!" And he's cackling, laughing. I'm like, "I fucking love you."
Now, and
most of those people had never been in that rock bar because it was a rock bar, and these are like crusty white folks who wouldn't go to a rock bar, you know, drink PBR or anything.
Definitely not the demographic of a rock bar, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
Your writing process, when you start working on a joke, do you try to sit down and dedicate time to writing, or do you try to do more writing on stage, or just kind of as it comes to you?
I am really weird because I need to experience stuff. That's what's been so hard for the past couple of years with COVID, because we haven't been able to go out and do stuff. And like right now, it's like the touring is so solid. It's I don't get it. Nobody's going out still right now. My friends aren't going back out to the bars and stuff. So where I like to hang out with people. I like my comedy is a lot about my personal experience of things. And so if something happens or something, like when I saw the gun / knife, it immediately cracked in my head. And that joke came out as you heard it. It just wrote itself in my brain. And I posted it once on Twitter. And I sent it to my trans friend, like, is this bad? No, that's hilarious. And then she gave me a line that I could not use. She gave me oh my God, it's such a funny line. I hate her for it. I'm like, I wish you were still doing comedy because that line is brilliant and I can't say it from my point of view. I was so mad she tagged that line. I'm like, you bitch, you mother. Anyway, serious. After the show, I'm not going to say it on the show, but after the show, after you start recording, I'm going to tell you what she wrote and you're going to pee yourself. It's that goddamn funny. Oh.
I look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, I was so pissed she wrote that. Anyway, but my comedy writing usually is, and it sounds weird, but I don't write comedy down until I like it because it exists in my brain. And I find if I write it out before it's finished, it gets too long and has too much extra stuff in there that I don't need. So, like, the last album I recorded, I recorded an album in 2019 for Stand Up Records. And because of COVID shut everything down, it's not out. It'll be out finally this summer. So when that gets done, I'm burning all that material and trying to write the next hour right now.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen because when I come out to Colorado, I'm out there for a whole month and a half. I'm in Colorado for a month and a half and like a whole month, I'm sorry. And then I have 2 other weeks before I come back home. So I'm going out every single night experiencing stuff and going to write another 30 minutes right then. That's my plan for this July, just to write an entire 30 minutes out there on stuff on the world. Because, as you know, watching TV and seeing that there's a war going on right now in Ukraine and all this stuff. Yeah, there's stuff I have written about that, but I'm not happy with it yet because I haven't got a chance to play with it on stage enough because people are still groaning. That's too soon to make fun of. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not too soon. Because it's happening right now. Yeah. And so I want to make, you know, that's the way I write. I experience, I see, and then I take it on stage and I play with it. But I can't play with it in Memphis because the open mics here, and I don't care if they get mad at me, are shit. And I don't like to do open mics here because there's like 5 real, maybe 6 comics, working comics who live in Memphis. Full-time working comics. And when we hang out, there's writing that's going to happen because we're at a bar, we're drinking, we're telling these the stories you've missed out on that you didn't know that happened to me. I'm hearing stories that happened to her and all this other stuff. And we end up feeding off each other. I don't like the open mic scene very often because I don't like the open mic scene in Memphis because those guys have no experience in anything, and it drains the funny from me.
I can feel that.
I always tell people to hang out with comics, hang out with people who are better than you in anything, because you can learn more from those people, and you have stories from those people. If I hang out with people worse than I am, that's going to drag me down. That's going to make my comedy worse. You know what I mean? I hang out better. I was working the Bellagio in Atlantic City, and all these comics showed up. It was a guy named Max Docelli, another guy named what's his name? Check it out. What was his name? I can't remember. Do you know who I'm talking about? Little dude. He used to carry a huge jam box around with him. Can't think of his name right now. But he's one of those old school comics. I mean, old school, early '80s comics. This dude is so hard. This dude is what's his name? I can't think of his name, but I'm gonna be so mad. I can't think of his name right now. But he's old school, and this is how crazy old school comics are. He had a heart attack that day. Okay, he had a heart attack. Checked himself out in time to do the show. Looking for cocaine after the show.
Oh my God!
And we are all sitting at the Bellagio. Just telling stories. I'm sitting there just listening. They're telling me about the time that Richard Pryor stopped doing cocaine to go watch Jim Carrey on stage and all this shit at the Comedy Store. And I'm just like, they're talking to me about, Mo, what do you have to tell? I ain't got shit to say. I'm just going to shut the fuck up and listen. I ain't got shit to say. I ain't got nothing compared to these stories. Y'all just keep telling me stories. I ain't got shit to say right now. You know, I don't,
like, let me be a student.
Yes. Teach on, Obi-Wan. Teach on. And I learned so many stories I can never repeat about certain other people. It's like one crazy ass ventriloquist fucking a girl while doing the puppet voice at her the entire time. I'm like, oh no, that's creepy as fuck. Yeah,
that is super creepy. Dude, but to each their own.
I heard that story. It was like, so I was in this one girl in the room and I had to go to the bathroom and I walked out and he's doing this chick and he's using the puppet voice and I just shut the door and he just closed, like, locked the door and, like, no, that's, I'm like, dude, that's that's creepy as fuck right there, man. Yeah.
Locked the door. Put a dresser in front of it.
I just backed out. I didn't even turn around. I just backed into the next, closed the door, locked it. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's like the Homer Simpson gif that people post of him just walking back into the bush.
That's exactly it.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I love it. When you tell a joke, like when you're working on a joke or just even a joke that normally does good, but if you tell a joke and it kind of bombs, what goes through your head while that's happening, like in the moment?
In the moment, it's like, okay, did I word that differently? Did something not come out? Because wording is so specific. That's why one of my favorite comics is Chris Rock, because Chris, it's a science with him. Have you ever seen Chris work material?
I have not.
Okay. I think a couple years back he went to Zany's in Nashville and worked out an entire week. You know, he made lots of money that week. But at the same time, if you watched his Monday night show to his Friday night show, you could see the first night he has nothing. Absolutely nothing. He just has thoughts that he wanna talk about. And by Friday night he has at least 20 strong minutes worked out the things that he's it's all about the wording. So if I have a joke that doesn't hit, and I'm just like, okay, why didn't it hit? Okay, did I say something wrong? Did the wording come out wrong? Did I transpose some words somewhere? Why did that not work? And I'll go back afterward and figure out what exactly happened. And it's like, oh, yeah, I messed up. I put this in front of that. That's why that didn't work. Or this joke came at the wrong time before this other joke that was supposed to be there. Because certain jokes are connected, even though they're not next to each other. There might be one beat, you know, one joke here, the first thing, 12 jokes later, there's a callback that has something to do with. So, yeah, and that's why I know. That's how I figured something out. I was like, what went wrong on that point? But you just have to figure it out. Because it's always either just a word or something. A beat didn't happen properly. You know, maybe I burped right there and it just, you know, held down a burp or something and it threw off the timing of that joke. Because it's all about word placement and timing. If you get those two together, it's going to be great. But if anything slightly off key, you're going to be messed up.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely had that happen with the burp thing where something comes on and that it's amazing how just a small little thing can like derail it.
A lot of times it does. What happens is, oh, because I drink. I don't know if you know that about me, Dan. I drink. I'm a tequila drinker.
Ooh, tequila's not my friend.
You gotta drink the better stuff. You gotta drink the good stuff, sir.
It's not about what kind of tequila. It's just that tequila really puts me down.
does it? I talked to a comic a couple months ago. He was like, hey, man. I thought I had the record, and they're like, oh, no, that's Mo Alexander had the record. He did 19 double shots on stage. I was like, oh, yeah, sorry, I only did 15. I was like, yeah, you can grow up, son. I was at a place called Howl at the Moon in Fort Walton Beach. It's now moved. I'm doing the other room tomorrow night called The Block, and my record is 19 double shots on stage.
Wow.
And then I walked off stage. Got a standing ovation, walked off stage, went to the office, got paid, walked to my car, sat in the car, and then just sat there for like 4 hours so I knew where I was sober enough to drive back to the hotel, which was like a block away. I'm like, y'all ain't getting me. Like, y'all are not getting me. I'm not getting arrested in Florida at all. No, sir. No, I will. I am drunk as shit, and I know that. That's why I will be sitting in my car for the next 4 hours. I'll leave at 3 o'clock in the morning, go back to the hotel, pass out.
Well, that's good that you're safe about it, because that's one thing I'm very particular about. I like to drink too, but I don't get too crazy when I have to drive, just because, you know, as a comic, we drive everywhere, you know. Yeah. Like, you have, if you lose your license, that makes doing comedy a lot tougher.
Oh yeah. I mean, I usually have someone traveling with me, because I had some medical stuff happen about 7 years ago where I don't drive long distances anymore because of my leg. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I was driving like that, no, I knew better. One night I was in New York. I was on Long Island, this place called The Brokerage. And it's like a scene from The Sopranos in there, right? And I love those people to death, and I'm not going to assume anything weird with them. But one of the owners is in sanitation. Then I met his brother, who's in construction. I'm like, okay, I'm good to you people. You all are always nice to me. And I walked in one time, and they're just like, Mo's back, yay! I got your shot right here. And they brought me this full-on rocks glass of a drink, and I drank a little. Like, hey, that's 151. I drink tequila. What are you doing? He's like, and he just slapped his son in the head. You don't, Mo, drink tequila. What are you doing? He's like, Mo, go ahead and drink that. We'll bring you tequila the rest of the night. I'm like, oh my fucking god, what are you people doing? So I drank that 151 shot. I did two other shows. That first show, they brought me a tray of tequila shots, not the little, not the tiny ones, the big ones. And I was so, that's the night that I was so drunk, they got me so drunk that I went to the car. I threw the keys in the back seat again. I got in the car. I was like, I am not driving anytime in the near future, because I know I am gone. And I got in the car and I woke up and the entire left side of my body was just wet. And I'm like, what happened? Did I try to drive? Am I dead? What's going on? No, what happened was, I got into the car, passed out, left the car door open. It rained, and the entire left side of my body just was drenched. Just drenched. Because I had been in the rain for I don't know how long. Just wet. And I was sober enough to drive back to the hotel, which was like 30 minutes away. And I walked in, and the dude behind the desk was like, yo, Swamp Thing, what's up? And I just like, go to hell. Go straight to hell. Go straight to hell.
Oh man, that's incredible. All right. Well, we're going to start wrapping things up. I got one more question I like to ask everybody that's on the podcast.
Yes, sir.
The bumming and bombing, the dreadful feeling you get when you have a bad show or you bomb. How does that affect you, and how has that kind of changed over the years?
It happens rarely. It really happens rarely now if you bomb. I think the last bomb I had was probably 4 years ago. And I can tell you exactly where it was. It was in the middle. I think I was in Hayes, Kansas. And we have nothing in common. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The people of Hayes, Kansas, and myself had nothing in common. They could not relate to any. Now, I'm not a comic that does black, this and black, white, this and all. I mean, there's a couple in there that just supposed to. These people just looked at me for an hour. They did not understand. It wasn't like I was speaking too fast. It wasn't like anything that they just didn't. They just weren't connecting with me. And I can't fault them for it. I can't fault myself for it. All I can know is me and these people have nothing in common, and they don't understand any of the relative things that I was speaking about, because they don't have these same things in Hayes, Kansas, where there's maybe 3,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And, or I don't know the population of Hayes, Kansas. I have no, but it was, I play Wichita. I play Topeka. I play Kansas City. I played Salina. I played all these places in Kansas and never had a problem. That was the one show that there was no energy connecting. There was no bonding between me and the crowd. And I had to let it go. It wasn't like the next day I was like, oh my God, I can't connect with you. It was just like, you just go about like, well, where's the next gig? Let's go back and do somewhere else tonight, and hopefully I can connect with these people. Maybe we can get on the same page. Because those people and I were not on the same page. It wasn't like the Bruce show, who wasn't on the same page. Those people came to see Bruce. They didn't give a damn about anything else.
Yep.
These people had a night on the town at a comedy show that they did once a month, and they did not understand the things I were talking about or cared about. And I don't know what that town cared about. Usually we can come together with the human condition all being stupid or fucking weird people. Mm-hmm. These people were just like, that's a big Negro up there. I don't know what he's talking about. That's what it was. And they were polite, but it was one of those shows where you say, thank you, good night. And they're just like, okay, what was happening here? Okay, there was nothing I could do. And that happened so rarely, but it didn't even freak me out, because halfway through I was like, all right, I have juggled three different shows for these people. I have done, because I have multiple acts, okay? I've been doing this long enough to where I can pull out things from 20 years ago if I have to. But I never try to pull that stuff out because it's easy to do. And I always want to have fun with these people. And they weren't engaged. I like an engaging crowd. I will talk to a crowd. Yes, I can do my entire show and never talk to anybody and have a great show. But I'm more interactive than that. I want to have fun. I want to feed off the fun you're having, because if I'm feeding off the fun you're having, it's going to be more fun for me. And that show, it was no energy at all, none. And I worked my ass off of those people, and they just looked at me the whole time. I'm like, all right, thank y'all, good night. Y'all will never see me again. I will never be back. Because, yeah, no, there's no reason for me to go back there, because they did not... And it wasn't even, that was a country bar. It wasn't anything like that. I mean, I've done country bars. I've done a gig at a country bar that was so scary that the owner was like, now look, you're a large black man. If anybody gives you hell, and then he just pulls out a gun and like, I got your back. I'm like, oh. That really happened to me, dude.
I believe that.
That really happened to me. I was with a friend of mine, and I was just like, when we pulled up and saw the place, I was like, so who's going to take a guess at how many rebel flags are in there when we get in there? And I'm serious. And we walked in there, there's a big, like, big ass rebel flag on the bar. And I'm like, oh, six. I was right. And and the owner was just like, when he said that and pulled out this big ass 45, there's like a gold plated 45 from like a video game shit. I'm just like, oh, God damn. But you know what? I got all those people. I sold merchandise to racist people who wanted to hang out with me after the show. I mean, it's fun. I know this is a show about bombing, but when you can turn a bomb or what you think into a bomb into fun, like, yep. here's something for you. I did a gig in Texas one time, and this dude had a fuck Obama's tattoo on the back of his big bald head, okay? Big biker, racist dude. And I told him why he was stupid, okay? And he was seriously a racist. This is no joke. He was like, I'm going to call you a nigger, but never. And I was like, all right, whatever. And I got him to the point where at the end of the night, he came up to me and said, I really like your shit. Let's go smoke some weed. And I'm like, I ain't going nowhere with you. And he's like, I got you. I'm not going to do shit. Let's go smoke some weed. And we went outside. We smoked out. And he was like, I probably should get this tattoo taken off. I was like, yeah, you probably should. Because that's not what you, that don't, and he's like, yeah, okay. So
hopefully he did.
Yeah, hopefully he did. But he was, at the end of the night, I had changed his worldview about some shit. And
that's powerful. That's powerful right there.
That's powerful to me. That was one of the things that made me want to stay in this game. Because if I can change one mind about some stupid shit, when you come up with a fuck Obama tattoo on the back of your head, claiming, I mean, you know, representing you some biker gang, and you racist as fuck, and then at the end of the night, we hugging each other and smoking I'm smoking his weed, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's, I was like, yeah.
Beautiful stuff there. That's what it should all be all about.
That's changing what I think. Minds. No. Changing, making, showing the stupidity of the world and changing a person's worldview. You can do that in an hour from making people laugh about the stuff that's really messed up on this planet. I'm happy.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I got a couple more questions. I like to, because we do talk about bombing and all that fun stuff. Well, and it's not always so fun, the bombing story. So I like to go more positive at the end.
Yeah.
So I got a couple things. One, I have an Art of Bombing Get Pumped playlist. Now, okay. It's songs that get you pumped. Doesn't have to get you pumped for comedy. It can be for whatever, you know, whatever activity. But do you have a song that you would love, that you would like to add to the Get Pumped playlist?
Is it just one? Because there's like no, seriously, man. There's different at different times in my life, so for there's different tracks that I like to listen to before I get pumped for stuff. Like for instance, Tool, you give me some Tool before a show, it's gonna be a fun fucking show right there.
Yeah. Particular song from
particular
Tool?
What is that one called? Eulogy or Stink Fist? Eulogy or Stink Fist from the Animal album? Those two right there just makes me go. Invincible off the new album, the Invincible. That's a great fucking song. Numa off the any of those songs right there are stuff I will listen to before I go on stage. Like my intro music right now is. is Run the Jewels, Close Your Eyes and Count to Fuck. That song right there, if you don't know that song, if that song didn't hype you up, you are literally dead. You have gone to a different plane of existence. That song will hype you the fuck up. It makes me crazy. I'm like, yeah. I like to play that as an intro because the beat is so kicking. And once you understand, I'm like, this show, even though I sit down on stage, I'm still going to be the most high energy show you ever seen. Because, you know, I have a bad leg right now because of that, all the surgery and stuff. But I'm still going to be the most high energy show you see, because it's not just about, I want to exude energy to you. I want to be shaky. That's the kind of show I want. I want this thing to be jumping off. But those songs by Tool, that song, most songs are Run the Jewels, but Close Your Eyes and Count the Fuck right there. That's the one. That's the
all
one.
All right. I got it. I'm going to add that to the list.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, we talk about the bad show. So I always love to hear a show that was one of your favorites that you've done.
One of my favorite
gig.
One of my favorite gigs was a long time ago when I was touring with Keenan Avery Wayans. We had to do a show in Biloxi, Mississippi at a casino riverboat, right? And it was like a thunderstorm out there. And you could feel it was one of those landlocked casinos, but you still could feel it moving back and forth. Because it was on the coast. It wasn't in the river. It was like on the coast. So you could still feel it moving back. And there's like 1,500 people at this show. And as I'm walking past Keenan's dressing room, this is like 2 minutes before I go on stage, I'll go up to Keenan's like, man, I hope this boat don't break free because our people already had one free boat ride. We don't need another. And he's like, motherfucker, get out of here. What the hell are you doing? And he just throws something at me to get out of the room. And I walk on stage and I say that the first words out of my mouth is what I just said to Keenan, right? The first words out of my mouth, and the room blows up. Keenan is on the side of the stage. Just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And he's laughing his ass off. Just, he's doing that little Arsenio Hall dance he used to make fun of with his little booty shaking thing. He's doing that like, I cannot believe you got those people to laugh at you stupid. I'm hearing about you stupid. I'm like, I know. That's one of my favorite shows because I did 20 minutes and it just could not go any wrong. There's nothing I can do after I opened with that brand new thing that I just said 2 minutes before him. And then they're like, bam. He's like, he's stupid. He was stupid. I know I'm stupid. I can't help it. Well, you're the one who hired me. I told you I'm stupid.
That's awesome. That sounds like it was a fun gig. All right, the last question. Oh, go ahead.
It was a fun tour. I gave him so much hell all the time. I tried to get his mama to adopt me one time because we were in Atlantic City at another gig. And it was his mom's birthday, so it was like the mom and a bunch of the other, not the famous brothers, but a lot of the unfamous family came out to his thing. So we had his mom's birthday dinner, and they let me in, and I was like, hey, Miss Wayne, can I ask you a question? And he's like, leave my mama alone. I'm like, I'm not doing anything to your mom. She's like, leave him alone, baby. What can I do for you? Look, it's happy birthday. I'm glad to meet you. I love your family. I just want to know, could y'all adopt me? I mean, I don't need you to do anything financially for me. I just want to be able to call myself One Mo Wayan. And Ken's like, nigga, get out of here. Leave my mother. She was cackling. He was like throwing more. He was throwing bread rolls at me. Like, get the fuck away from my mom. I'm like, look, I want to be One Mo Wayan. Come on. That'd be the best name ever. One Mo Wayan. Come on.
Right? That's amazing. That'd be amazing. I love it. All right. The last thing I do is called pick a number. You pick a number between 1 and 20, and I ask you a corresponding question that may or may not be related to comedy.
13.
13 it is. All right. What has been some funny advice someone gave you?
Some funny advice. Okay, this is horrible. This is horrible advice. Don't ever do it. The advice was like, look, never fuck the waitresses at the comedy club unless one's about to get fired. That you won't.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Damn, what? Yeah, because she's not going to complain back to the manager that you did something. I'm like, oh, okay. Ooh, thank you for that piece of bad advice I'm never going to take. No.
Right? Oh,
a real comic from the 80s told me that, and I'm not telling you the name, but that's a real thing they said to me. It's like, don't ever fuck the waitstaff unless one of them about to get fired. Then you can fuck her. That's the one you want to get.
Wow. That sounds like something that a comic from the 80s would have said, though. So
Yep, definitely checks out. Yep.
Well, this has been great. I know you've got an album coming out later this year. Why don't you talk about that? Because that's a cool thing that you got to do, because you recorded that at a famous recording studio.
I'm the first and only comic to record an album inside of Sun Studio. The legendary Sun Studio, Ike Turner, Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, all those guys recorded music at Sun Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. And I am the only comic to ever do that. Stand Up Records and I met the owner of Stand Up Records one time, and we played footsie for like a year and a half, and he was like, yeah, I'm a fan of you, let's do an album. I'm like, all right. And he was like, I want to do the Sun Studio. And I was like, I didn't think it was going to happen. I honestly didn't think he was going to be able to do it. I'm like, those people will never let me in that building, let alone do an album there. And it didn't even become real to me until like the day before when we're in the studio and they let me in the back door, like through the actual studio itself. It's a very small studio. The engineering booth is tiny, but then the actual space, we couldn't get a lot of people in there. So we did two shows with like 50 or 60 people in there each. And it's coming out. It should be out some point this summer, by September at the latest. The new is going to be Mo Possum Blues.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the reason is before I had the cool little possum, I got attacked by a bigger possum who came in my house, and that's a long other story. I think it's the grandfather of Poncho, but I don't, long story. Anyway, but yeah, that's coming out soon. That's going to come out real soon. And I actually recorded a song called Mo Possum Blues for that album. So you got to hear my horrible voice sing a blues song on that last track, on that track to the album too. So yeah, it's going to be fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's great. I look forward for that to come out. And then, so if people want to follow you, they can go check out your website, moalexander.net, IG, Twitter, @moalexander. Thanks again for doing this. This has been fantastic.
Thank you for having me, my friend.
This has been brought to you by Dead and Mellow. Follow us on all your social media platforms and shop around at deadandmellow.com to see all of our stand-up, music, and podcast releases. Thank you, and God bless America.
All right, see you later.
Are we actually leaving or just ending?